The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 17, Text Number 1 till 28, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 13th, 2007, in Helsinki, Finland.
Saturday we are beginning a study of the 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto. This chapter is entitled The Punishment and Reward of Kali. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Suta uvacha tatra gaumitanang raja hanyamanam anatavat nandahashtang ca vrishalang dadrashe nirpalanshanam. Suta Goswami said, after reaching that place, Maharaj Parikshit observed that a lower caste Sudra, dressed like a king, was beating a cow and a bull with a club as if they had no owner. Text number 2. Vrishamrenaladhavalang. Mehantam eva bhivyatam. Vepamanam padaikena. Siddhantam shudrataritam. The bull was as white as a white lotus flower. He was terrified of the Shudra who was beating him, and he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, trembling and urinating. Text number 3. Gangcha dharma dugam dhenang. Bhrishang shudra padahatam. Vivatsam ashruva dhanang. Chamang yarvavisham. Shamang yavasam itchatim. Although the cow is beneficial because one can draw religious principles from her, she was now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were being beaten by a Shudra. There were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field. Text 4. Prapracharattam avrudha. Karatasvara parichadam. Mega gambiraya vacha. Samaropita karmuka. Maharaj Parikshit, well equipped with arrows and bow, and seated on a gold-embossed chariot, spoke to him, the Shudra, with a deep voice sounding like thunder. Text number 5. Kastvang machcharane loke. Baladang jabalan bali. Naradevo siveshena. Natavat karmanadvija. Oh, who are you? You appear to be strong, and yet you dare kill within my protection those who are helpless. By your dress, you pose yourself to be a godly man king, but by your deeds, you are opposing the principles of the twice-born Kshatriyas. Text number 6. Yastvang Krishne Gate Dhurang. Sahagandhi Vadhanava. Socha Savochanarahasi. Praharan Vadam Arhasi. You rogue. Do you dare beat an innocent cow because Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the carrier of the Gandiva bow, are out of sight? Since you are beating the innocent in a secluded place, you are considered a culprit and therefore deserve to be killed. Text number 7. Tvang vamrinala dhavala. Padairanyuna padacharan. Vrishavrupena king kashchid. Devo na parikhedayan. Then he, Maharaj Parikshit, asked the bull, "Oh, who are you? Are you a bull as white as a white lotus? Or are you a demigod? You have lost three of your legs and are moving only on one. Are you some demigod causing us grief in the form of a bull?" Text number 8. Najatu karane dhanang. Dordanda parirambite. Bhutale nupatant yasmin. Vinate praninang sucha. Now, for the first time in a kingdom well protected by the arms of the kings of the Kuru dynasty, I see you grieving with tears in your eyes. Up until now, no one on earth has ever shed tears because of royal negligence. Purport. The protection of the lives of both the human beings and the animals is the first and foremost duty of a government. A government must not discriminate in such principles. It is simply horrible for a pure-hearted soul to see organized animal killing by this state in this age of Kali. Maharaj Parikshit was lamenting for the tears in the eyes of the bull, and he was astounded to see such an unprecedented thing in his good kingdom. Men and animals were equally protected as far as life was concerned. That is the way in God's kingdom. Om Agyanati Madandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Just consider the situation in the Vedic culture. Up until now, no one on earth has ever shed tears because of royal negligence. For millions of years, this earth planet was a place of great happiness. There were Vedic kings who were making sure that every single man and even every animal was happy. Prabhupada explained that that is Krishna consciousness. That everyone is happy, even the animals are happy. If you go to India today, it is very difficult to find an animal that's well fed. In fact, the only animals I have seen that are well fed are the dogs on Juhu Beach who are walking with their masters. Very small number, but every other animal I've ever seen in India. They're always very skinny and miserable looking. So, Krishna conscious culture means that everyone is happy. That is actual Krishna conscious culture. So, we can understand what is the present situation of the world civilization. How far away it is from actually being a civilization. We should never be fooled by their technology, by their airplanes, by their internet, by their sophisticated freeway systems, automobiles, telephones, etc. We should never be lured into the false understanding that they have something wonderful going on here. Actually, it is a dungeon of the demons. It is a horrible nightmare what's going on right now in the world. Because there is no proper management. You see, the beginning of the end was when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by Sringi to die within 7 days. That was the beginning of the end. It didn't take very long after that before the whole thing fell apart, Vedic culture. There must be a proper Brahman class. And there must be a proper Kshatriya class. You see. Those two classes are there, and there will be happiness throughout the entire world. So, here in this Krishna consciousness movement, we are especially developing the training for the Brahman class. You see. Because Brahman class, they are teachers. Brahman means one who knows what is the absolute truth and one who teaches what is the absolute truth. So, by subtly creating Brahman class, then the other classes can all be trained properly. Kshatriya class, Vaishya class, Shudra class, everyone can be trained properly. The social body is compared to the human body. You have the head, you have the arm, you have the belly, you have the legs. You see? Kshatriya, they are the army. Even we say arms, army. You see? Same word, army and arms. The Vaishya, they produce the foodstuff, so they are compared to the belly. The Shudra, they do the work. They are the legs. But Brahman, that is the head. If you consider, if someone, they can have their legs amputated, they will still live. They can have their arms amputated, they will still live. Even they can have their belly cut out and be fed intravenously, they can still live. But is there any way that a body can be maintained when the head is cut off, you see? That is not possible. That is not possible. So, of all the four social urges, it is very simple to see the absolute necessity of a Brahman class. Today, there is perverted reflection of the Brahman class, the intellectuals, the priests. But it is a very perverted reflection. Very, very, very perverted. They don't know what is the absolute truth. They speak all nonsense, mental speculation. And they do it for a salary. You see. If you don't pay them a salary, they won't teach. You see. An actual Brahman, he is not dependent on salary. Just like we have previously given a very nice example. During the reign of Maharaj Krishna Chandra. That town is still there in Bengal, Krishna Nagar, near our Mayapur, you see. That was previously being ruled over by Maharaj Krishna Chandra. So, Maharaj Krishna Chandra, he heard that in his kingdom there was one Brahman who was impoverished. He said, no, I cannot allow any Brahmin to be in poverty in my kingdom. So he found out where was that Brahmin, and he came there. He wanted to bestow all material opulence upon this poor Brahmin. So he says, Brahmin, I have heard that you are poor. I want to make you rich. All of my Brahmins must be rich in my kingdom. He said, what do you mean, poverty stricken? I live under this tree with my wife, and these students come, I teach them, I train them in Sanskrit, in Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita. In this way I train my students. And they bring some handful of rice when they come for lesson. They bring dakshina, some rice, some dal, you see. My wife, she cooks that rice, and we are living under this tamarind tree. She takes one leaf from the tree and she boils it in the rice, and we are living very nicely. What do you mean, poverty stricken? You see? So I don't need any help. See, this is actual Brahma. Even in the Greek culture, which is a spin-off of the Vedic culture, as we know, the two kings who founded the Greek and Roman dynasties, actually they were the sons of Maharaj Tejasi, Vedic kings. Of course, things were regrading now after Parikshit's departure, but still, even during the Greek times, there was some vestige of Vedic culture going on. There was one philosopher, his name was Diogenes. And Diogenes, he wanted to live a very simple way, so he got some barrel. He was simply living in that barrel, you see. So Alexander the Great heard that one of the philosophers was living in poverty, so he came to bestow wealth on the philosopher. And he looked down into the barrel at Diogenes. He said, is there any way I can serve you? He said, yes, please get out of the way. You're blocking the sunlight. So in this way, even during the Greek time, there was some vestige which of the Vedic culture, still some small vestige still going on, you see. But the actual Vedic culture, you see, the Brahmins are very, very, very detached from any form of material sense enjoyment. They simply want to become highly learned in this Vedic wisdom. And they want to teach, they want to distribute, they have compassion upon the other social urges. That everyone should become enlightened in Vedic wisdom for the purpose of going back to home, back to Godhead. The Brahmins have drifted so far away in the modern day India, it is simply perverted reflection now. The Brahmins, they are not learned in Vedic wisdom, nor are they willing to teach anything to anyone. They just want money, 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 sweeter than honey. That's all. You see. The Brahmins said, unless you're a Brahmin, stay away from me. Don't pollute me with your shadow. You see. So, that is not Brahmin. Brahmin, he is very liberal. He wants to give knowledge to everyone. So because of the caste consciousness, the Brahmin class, they invented this idea that unless you're born as a Brahmin, you cannot be a Brahmin. Simply a concocted idea. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnyam mayashristam guna karma vibhagasho. He does not say janma karma vibhagasho. He says guna, according to qualities and activities. You see? You see, if one is sleepy going into Tamaguna during the Bhagavatam class, they are Shudra, you see. They are not Brahmin. By the qualities it is understood, what is the actual character of the person, not by the birth. So, the Brahmins, they refuse to give knowledge to the lower, so-called lower classes. And therefore, the lower class, why we should be outcast or lower class Hindu, we become Muslim. get some status. So in this way, now this huge Hindu-Muslim problem is going on in India. The Muslims, they are all from Hindu tradition originally. The Indian Muslim, they are all Hindus originally, you see. So simply because the Brahmins did not do their duty to try to elevate, to uplift every member of the society, now you have this huge schism, this huge split in India, Hindu-Muslim problem. It is simply the fault of the Brahmins. You cannot say it was the fault of the Muslims. They were part of it, but the real blame falls on the Brahmins, because they refuse to be merciful. A Brahmin means he is merciful. He is kind. He wants to teach. He wants to guide. He wants to enlighten. He wants to inspire. He wants to enthuse people to become Krishna conscious. So in this way, when the Brahmins are not proper, then the Kshatriyas, they will be the worst rogues and animals, the worst demons. They will simply torture, as Prabhupada explains, man-eating rakshasas, you see. The politicians will simply devour the citizens by taxation, you see. They will live very comfortably. The country will be going down the tubes financially, and they'll be voting to receive more bigger, fatty salaries, you see. They'll make sure that they themselves are very comfortably situated. Everybody else can go to hell, that's all right, but let me be comfortably situated. That's the modern day politician, is it? So we need to have rulers like Parikshit Maharaj as prime minister, as president, as king, whatever system of government the country has. We need to have rulers of the caliber of Parikshit Maharaj. And to do that, we must have a class of Brahmins who can enlighten everyone throughout every town, every village, every city on this planet. There must be Brahmins everywhere. We have to ourselves become the topmost pure devotees we possibly can be, to inspire as many people as possible to become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, and then there should be actually an ISKCON center in every town and village on this planet. We should have millions of ISKCON centers, you see. There are just like how many cities and towns and villages are there in Finland? There should be that many ISKCON centers. We should have a huge movement where in every town, every village, every hamlet, there is a qualified devotee there who can teach and enlighten the people and guide them how to become the pure devotees, how to understand that they are not the body, how to understand that they are actually the spirit soul, full spiritual knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam must be presented to everyone. So now we'll read some more verses. Ma sarabe yatra sucho vyetu te vrishalan bhayam marodiramba badrante kalanang mayi shashtari. O son of Surabhi, you need lament no longer now. There is no need to fear this Loka Shudra. And, O Mother Earth, as long as I am living as the ruler and subduer of all envious men, there is no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good for you. Text 10:11. Yashya Rashtre Praja Sarvas Trishyante sadvasadhubi Tasya matasya nashyanti Kirtirayur bhagogati. Esharagyam parodharmo Hiyartanam adinigraha Ata enam vadishyami Buddha druham masattamam. O chaste one, the king's good name, duration of life, and good rebirth vanish when all kinds of living beings are terrified by miscreants in his kingdom. It is certainly the prime duty of the king to subdue first the sufferings of those who suffer. Therefore, I must kill this most wretched man, because he is violent against other living beings. Text 12. Ko vishchattava padang strin sarabeya chatushpada mabhuvang sradrisha rashtre ragyam krishnan nuvartinam. He, Maharaj Parikshit, repeatedly addressed and questioned the bull thus, O son of Surabhi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of the kings who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, there is no one as unhappy as you. 13. Akyahi vrishabhadrang va sadhunam akritagasam atma vairupya kartaram partanam kriti dushanam. O bull, you are offenseless and thoroughly honest. Therefore I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations which blackmail the reputations of the sons of Prita. 14. Jane nagas yagang yunjan sarvatos yajadman bayam sadhunang badrame vasyad asadu dhamane krite. Whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless. Anagashviha bhuteshu yagas krinaran kusha ahartasmi bujang sakshad amartyasyapi sangaram. An upstart living being who commits offenses by torturing those who are offenseless shall be directly uprooted by me, even though he be a denizen of heaven with armor and decorations. 16. Ragyo hi paramo dharma svadharma stanupalanam shasaton yan yata shastram anapad yut pataniha. The supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to law-abiding persons and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times when there is no emergency. Text 17. Dharma uvacha etadva pandave vyanam yuktamarta bhayang vacha yeshanguna ganai krishno tat yadau bhagavan krita. The personality of religion said, these words just spoken by you befit a person of the Pandava dynasty. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger. Text 18. Navayam Kresha Bhijani Yatasyu Purusharshaba Purushang Tang Vijani Mo Vyakya Bheda Vimohita. O greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our sufferings, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. Text 19. Kechid Vikalpavasana Ahur Admatnam Atmana Daivam Anye Pare Karma Svabhavam Mapare Prabhum. Some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality declare that one's own self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, while yet others say that activity is responsible, and the gross materialists maintain that nature is the ultimate cause. Text number 20. Apratoryada nirdeshyad iti keshvapi nishchaya Atranu rupang rajarshe Vimrishasva manishaya. There are also some thinkers who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of distress by argumentation, nor know it by imagination, nor express it by words. O sage amongst kings, judge for yourself by thinking over all of this with your intelligence. Text 21. Suta uvacha evang dharme pravadati sasamradvijasattamah Samahitena manasa Vikheda paryachashtatam. Sutta Goswami said, O best among the Brahmanas, the Emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied, and without mistake or regret, he gave his reply. 22. Rajovacha Dharmang Bravishi Dharmagya Dharmosi Vrishavrupadrik Yadda Dharma Kritasthanam Suchakashyapi Tadbhavet. The king said, O you who are in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion, and you are speaking according to the principle that the destination intended for the perpetrator of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no other than the personality of religion. Text 23. Tatava deva mayaya Nunam gatira gochara Chetasa vachasas chapi Bhutanam iti nishchaya. Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. Text 24. Tapashaucham daya satyam iti pada krite krita adharmang shastrayo bhagna smayasanga madaistava. In the age of satya, truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. Text 25. Idaning dharma padaste. Satyam nirvatayad yata tang jigre chatyadharma tang jigre chatyadharmo yam anitre naidita kali. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness. And you are somehow or other hobbling along, but quarrel personified Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. Text 26. Iyang chabumir bhagavata nyasito rudbharasati Srimad Bistad Pada Nyasai Sarvata Krita Kautuka. The burden of the earth was certainly diminished by the personality of Godhead and by others as well. When he was present as an incarnation, all good was performed because of his auspicious footprints. Text number 27. Sochat Yashru Kala Sadvi Durbhage Vojjatasati Abrahmanya Nripa Vyaja Shudra Bhakshyanti Mamiti. Now she, the chaste one, being unfortunately forsaken by the personality of Godhead, laments her future with tears in her eyes, for now she is being ruled and enjoyed by lower class men who pose as rulers. Text 28. Iti dharmang mahing chaiva Santvayatva Maharata Nishatim Maddade Kadgang Kalaye Dharma Hetave. Maharaj Parikshit, who could fight 1,000 enemies single-handedly, and thus pacified the personality of religion and the earth, then he took up his sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of all irreligion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As described above, the personality of Kali is he who deliberately commits all kinds of sinful acts which are forbidden in the revealed scriptures. This age of Kali will certainly be full of all the activities of Kali. But this does not mean that the leaders of society, the executive heads, the learned and intelligent men, or above all the devotees of the Lord, should sit down tightly and become callous to the reactions of the age of Kali. In the rainy season, certainly there will be profuse rainfalls. But that does not mean that men should not take means to protect themselves from the rains. It is the duty of the executive heads of state and others to take all necessary actions against the activities of Kali or the persons influenced by the age of Kali. And Maharaj Parikshit is the ideal executive head of the state, for he at once was ready to kill the personality of Kali with his sharp sword. The administrators should not simply pass resolutions for anti-corruptional steps, but they must be ready with sharp swords to kill the persons creating corruptions from the angle of vision of the recognized Shastras. The administrators cannot prevent corrupt activities by allowing wine shops. They must at once close all shops of intoxicating drugs and wine, enforce punishment even by death for those who indulge in habits of intoxication of all descriptions. That is the way of stopping the activities of Kali, as exhibited herein by Maharaj Parikshit, the Maharata. So, we see nowadays the government leaders are very, very lenient. That you can do anything and everything. And if, as long as you have some money and you can bribe the, pay your way in the court system, then you can get off easy. You see, it's a very, very corrupt situation nowadays. Money buys justice, so-called justice. The administrators themselves are very lenient on crime because they themselves are criminals. You can't expect a criminal to come down strongly against criminals. It's not possible. The criminals, they will be soft on criminals. But here we see Maharaj Parikshit, he's immediately killed. You see, this the personality of Kali. He's ready to immediately kill him. So the government, actually, they must take strong action against all types of sinful activities. But the government men themselves, they engage in so many sinful activities. And people think, well, if the president can do it, me too. Just like that Clinton rascal. He had some affair in the White House. Many people thought, oh, this is very nice. You see? If he can do, I can do. So, when the leaders themselves are the rogues and rascals, then it creates simply a hellish atmosphere for the whole human civilization. Simply a hellish atmosphere. So, therefore, Prabhupada wants us to actually take the management. He told us in Bombay. He said, the world is being managed by rogues and demons. He said, now you make your life successful and you take the management. He wants us to be the guiding persons of the society. You see, the Brahmin class, they are actually the guides. The Kshatriya, they rule on behalf of the Brahmin, actually. The Brahmin, Guru, he comes from the forest to visit his disciple who is the king. The king, he gets off the throne, he puts the Brahmin on the throne, he offers him arati. And my Guru Maharaj, now I offer you the entire kingdom, you see. So Guru says, all right, and now I give it back to you, you manage it on my behalf. So the actual rulers in the Vedic culture, the Brahmins are actually the rulers, but they don't manage. They give the managerial work over to their disciples, the Kshatriya class, who are disciples, and let them do the managerial work. You see. So in this way, we have to preach with such effectiveness, with such purity, that the leaders of the society, they will all be under our guidance, actually. They'll all be under our guidance. That will bring happiness and peace to the human society. Then you will have peace and prosperity. That requires that we must become spotless, completely spotless in our character. We have to become pure devotees. The members of our society should become living manifestations of what is printed in these books. Not that the book is one thing and we are another thing. No. Just as there is two Bhagavatams, the book Bhagavatam and person Bhagavatam. So every ISKCON member, he must or she must become person Bhagavatam also. That every thought, every word, and every action is a perfect manifestation of what's printed in these books, you see. We need such pure class of devotees in this ISKCON movement so that we can actually do our duty, you see, to put a stop to all this nonsense that's going on. These brothels, these liquor shops, the slaughterhouses, the abortion clinics. Horrible. Horrible demoniac things going on at the present time. We are duty bound to become very pure so these things will come to an end. That is our responsibility as fervents of Srila Prabhupada's mission. See? We are meant to become completely pure devotees so that this nonsense will come to a stop. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
Mr. Prabhupada, I would like to ask about this for illicit activities. Mm. So, which is a root one? Which is the worst of this? And also, do they count the cover the whole sinful activity? Like, is everything in this four?
Are all types of sins included in the four regulated principles?
And also, which one is like the root for the, is there more sinful, or is the other one more sinful than?
Well, these four are the four pillars. Just like a building is held up by four pillars, you see. There are other aspects to the building, but the main thing is those four pillars are on each corner, they're holding up the building. If you can break those four pillars, the whole building will come crashing down. There may be other more subtle aspects, but they're not so predominant. If you can get rid of illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling, then the whole sinful civilization will be stopped. The other things will automatically cease if those four things cease. That's why these four principles are emphasized. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. If these things can be eliminated, then everything else will follow automatically. Of course, you have to add Krishna consciousness. Because, you know, people have to have something to do. You take away their illicit sex, you take away their meat eating, you take away their gambling, take away all of their so-called pleasures. You have to give them something. You can't just leave them sitting there with nothing. Nirvana, you know, the void. You have to give them something else. Prasadam, kirtan, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to fill in the missing gap. You see? So we have a perfect program. We take away their sin and we give them something better. Yes.
Yeah. So
it's maybe
root big wealth.
So what is?
He asked what is.
What's the question?
Maybe it's from big wealth. Our illicit activity. So
yeah, wealth is. It's like in the Bible, it is said that it's more difficult for a wealthy man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that in the minds of those bhogaishvarya pristaktanam tayaparitta chetasam, in the minds of those who are too attached to material opulence and sense enjoyment, the resolute determination for the Supreme Personality of God for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So wealth can definitely be a huge impediment. We see it like in the USA, where it's a very, very wealthy country. It's very difficult to interest someone in Krishna consciousness nowadays. Because wealth is very, very intoxicating. If someone is already Krishna conscious, wealth can be utilized in Krishna's service. Wealth in itself is not bad. But wealth without Krishna consciousness is very bad. You see? It's better to be poor. If you're not Krishna conscious, it's better to be poverty stricken. You see? Better to be poverty stricken. Someone who's Krishna conscious, they can be wealthy or they can be poor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're wealthy or poor if you're Krishna conscious. Because whatever you have, you use for Krishna. That's a simple thing. Actually, there's no question of a devotee being wealthy in the material sense because he doesn't claim anything as his own. Devotee always thinks, nothing is mine. But by doing that, he is the most wealthy man. Why? Because Krishna becomes his property. So whether a devotee is externally wealthy or externally a poor person, because he has fully sold himself out to Krishna, the devotee is the wealthiest person in the whole universe. He's even more wealthy than Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigod. Because Krishna has become his personal property. If you give yourself to Krishna, Krishna will give himself to you. If you own that person who owns and controls everything in existence, does not that make you the most wealthy man in this world? Yeah. Someone who fully surrenders to Krishna, he is the most wealthy man. Whether he is poverty-stricken or wealthy externally is immaterial, doesn't matter. Question, yes?
Yes, Prabhu. Even though I totally agree with you that this is the only cure for this sick culture of nowadays, that we can, with this knowledge, we can save people. But still it seems that we are still very much in the marginal. We are not so much influence. So can you give us some word of encouragement?
Encouragement? Yes. I will give an encouragement that comes from Prabhupada in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. We may think, well, how is it possible that we could make people Krishna conscious? I mean, they're so attached. I mean, just sitting on the airplane, you know, yesterday, it's just, I mean, packed in there with all these karmis. As I mentioned last night, the gentleman sitting beside me is simply looking at the catalog, you know, paying some high price for some nonsense thing out of the catalog. I mean, they're so bewildered. They're completely captivated by the material nature. How is it possible to make them Krishna conscious? But Prabhupada explains very clearly in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport that if one can become an offenseless chanter of the holy names, by his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. So actually, all you have to do is become a pure devotee. And then you can actually have an uplifting impact on the entire global community. The whole global consciousness can be uplifted by, even if one person becomes a pure devotee, he will have an uplifting impact on the entire global consciousness to the point that the entire world will become Krishna conscious. This is what Prabhupada directly states in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, would you like to push forward this movement? Well, the first place you have to push it forward is in your own heart. What do we sing every morning? Bahir Nasinga, Hridaye Nasinga. Which literally means within Nisinga and without Nisinga. Isn't it? Or actually, without Nisinga, within Nisinga. That's how we sing. Bahir Nisinga, Hridaye Nisinga. Prabhupada gives the actual purport of this in his purport in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. Here's how Prabhupada, I've many times given this example, but it bears repeating again and again. May Lord Nisringadev dwell within my heart, killing all my bad propensities, so that my heart may become completely clean, and I can peacefully worship the Lord, and so that I can therefore bring peace to the entire world. In other words, to the extent that you can conquer the anarthas in your own heart, to that extent you become potent for pushing for this movement. If you want to push for this movement and you don't want to purify your heart, guess what? Your desire to push for the movement is a desire for name and fame. It's not pure. You see? If you really want to be effective at pushing for this movement, then you have to, your first battle, just like when the Allied forces, you know, came after Hitler. Their first battle was D-Day. You see, getting that foothold on the European continent at Normandy Beach. You see, it was an intense battle, but they did it. They finally got established. So, your D-Day is in your own heart, you see. Your Normandy Beach is right there in your heart. You want to wipe out Hitler? You see, you want to defeat the Hitler of the material, the Kali Yuga civilization? Well, you got to first of all storm Normandy Beach, right there in your heart. If you don't get a foothold on the beach, you're not going anywhere. Your preaching will not be effective. You have to, first of all, become completely purified in your heart. The personality of Kali has set up a camp in your heart. You know he's living there right now? Kali himself has set up a camp in your heart. He doesn't want to move out. He's become a roommate. He's your roommate. You see, he doesn't want to move out. But you've got to get him out. You've got to get the personality of Kali out of your heart. Because otherwise, you won't be very effective in your preaching. Get Kali out of your heart. Kick that rascal out. Either that or convert him, you know, make him a devotee. Get him to shave up and put on some tilak. Actually, Maharaj Pariksit was granting Kali some places of residence. But you know, we don't do that. We don't give Kali any place where he can continue his nonsense. Because our program is everyone has to get a book. Every place has to hear the holy name. Everyone has to get prasadam, you see. Our program is the personality of Kali should join the Bhakta program. Bhakta Kali, you see. That's our program for the personality of Kali. He has to join up. He has to become surrendered. Join the ashram, you see. That's our program for the personality of Kali. So anyway, if you want to be effective in preaching, You have a very heavy duty preaching assignment yourself. You have to become very solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have these programs: Mangalarti, Tulsi worship, Japa, Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada's books, and even the activity of preaching. That was also purify you. Going out to distribute books or prasadam, putting on festivals. All of these activities not only are beneficial for the general society, but these activities purify you also. The instruction given by Lord Chaitanya, Jade Deka Tarika Krishna Upadesha Maragaya Guru Hoyutare Desh, to become guru by telling everyone about Krishna, Prabhupada explains, that is actually the same instruction that Krishna gave Sarvadharman Paridjaja. In Kali Yuga, surrender to Krishna means push forward this movement. You see, that's what it means to surrender. If someone thinks, well, I just want to practice for my own benefit, you know, they just want to be like, Bhajananandi. I don't really want to preach, I'll just practice on my own. You can see those people are not very Krishna conscious. You go to their apartment, they have some Krishna conscious music, they got the Beatles, they got, you know, they're not really pure. They haven't cleaned out the crud. You see? They haven't cleaned out all the crud. If you really want to become pure and push for this movement, you've got to clean out all the crud from your own heart. You've got to do a really thorough house cleaning of your own heart. You have to look very deeply in your heart. What in me needs to be rectified? What are my faults? What in my thinking is wrong? In what way am I thinking that's wrong? In what way am I speaking that is wrong? And in what way am I acting that is wrong? But if you really focus on your thoughts, everything else will follow. But you should do everything. The main thing is your attitude. You've got to see what is the problem, what's wrong with my attitude. You see, why am I not tasting the nectar of the holy name unlimitedly with each mantra? Why am I not tasting unlimited oceans of nectar with each mantra? What am I doing wrong? What is my defect? You see, that you must be doing. You should actually be tasting unlimited nectar with each mantra. Each syllable of each mantra should be oozing with unlimited nectar. And if it's not, you're doing something wrong. You see? Personality of Kali is there messing up your Krishna consciousness. So you have to see how to get rid of them by becoming very, very determined that I must fully accept this process of Krishna consciousness exactly as Prabhupada is giving it in these wonderful books. Every thought must be in complete harmony. It must please Krishna. It must please Prabhupada. It must please the Vaishnavas, you see. If your thoughts could be seen by all the devotees, or there was a screen here in the temple room, you know, and your thoughts were being broadcast 24 hours a day, everybody could come in and watch the screen and see what you're thinking about. Would you be embarrassed? Yes. And I thank you for your honesty. You see? Our hearts should be so purified, our minds should be so clean, that our thoughts could be broadcast on the screen. All the devotees can see, wow, this Prabhu is always Krishna conscious. His thoughts are always very pure and wonderful. He doesn't have any lust. He doesn't have any greed. He doesn't have any anger. He's not finding fault with the management. He's a pure soul. He just wants to serve. You see, that's the kind of thoughts we should all have. We should all have those kind of thoughts. So if you do, if you really clamp down on yourself, really work hard to rectify yourself for all those non-Krishna conscious thoughts that keep going through your rascal brain, you see, if you will focus like that, I guarantee you, those years that you spend on this planet, you'll be able to push forward this movement like anything. You just got to start right here in your own heart. And then you can make thousands of people devotees. You see? What did Prabhupada say? He said, you're always saying all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Why don't you become glorious? You see? Every one of us, we are meant to become glorious preachers who can push forward this movement like anything. You see? And the only way we can do that is to have a heart that's very, very, very pure. It's the only way. It's the only way. If you try to do it on the basis of other things, you may have some temporary results. We've seen in our movement, big, big leaders came, they did so much, and then they left. Why? Because there was some motive there for name and fame. But if one is completely pure in their desire, they simply want to please Krishna, that's all. They want to please Prabhupada, that's all, you see. They want to please their Guru Maharaj, that's all. You see, that's only desire. Such persons become the most powerful Vaishnavas for pushing forward this movement. That's a fact. So I think our time has run short. And I thank you very much for your kind attention. Kantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.